Good evening, Rabbeisai. As always, thank you for joining. Special Zechus. I'm Rosh Chodesh. Tonight's Shir, the Nishmas, Rav Shimshon Chaim and Nachmani, the Neshama, should have an Aliyah, and the Torah that we learn should be an Aliyah's Neshama for him. So we have a strange posuk that the Zer Shimshon tries to tackle together with the parish of Rashi over here. We see that Rivka Imenu became pregnant. She davened for a child. Finally, she becomes pregnant. And the children start fighting inside her. So she says, if this is Lamazel Noichi, what's this for? So she went to Bidash HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What exactly is going on? And Rashi says, what do you mean, Im Kain? Im kein godel tsara ibur. If that's what pregnancy brings, if pregnancy brings such pain, why do I need to be pregnant? I mean, imagine, Baruch Hashem, I don't know what it is, but there are people out there who've suffered the terrible tsara of infertility. And those people have suffered the tsara of infertility. And imagine they spend 20 years, because that's what she waited for, 20 years, or maybe 10 years if you learn like Rashi. 10 years she wasn't royal, she got married at 3, so till 13 she wasn't royal, it's at least 10 years. But 10 years is a long time. If you had somebody that 10 years waited to get pregnant, and finally she gets pregnant, and then suddenly she goes, oh, it's kicking me. And she turns to her husband, she goes, it wasn't worth it. All the problems and all the tefillos and all the brachas and all the doctors and the IVFs and everything, it all wasn't worth it. One kick in the stomach, shouting for your mind, and the whole thing's finished. How could it be? So, the Zer Shimshon asks, first of all, what's going on over here? What's pshat? She says, I have charot al sha'ova. What do you mean, you have charot? The person damned, he wanted something, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives it to him, he goes, shouldn't have damned, that was stupid to damn for it. Well, you're taking back, you were happy, you wanted a child, now suddenly you're pregnant, now you don't want a child, what's going on over here? Question number one. Number two, you have problems in the pregnancy. So where do you go? You go to a doctor. That's where, you know, I've never had it before, where my wife says, you know, I'm feeling the baby's kicking a little bit funny and everything, what should we do? Let's go speak to the Rav. You know, what are we going to the Rav for? If you came to the Rav and says, you know, what are you here for? It's kicking over here, it's a little bit funny. The Rav would look at you and say, you're a little bit funny, go speak to a doctor. Go speak to the midwife, what's wrong with you? It's interesting, I remember years ago I heard there was a chinuch course that was given by a fellow by the name of Rabbi Oratz. Mamish an expert in chinuch. And he used to give this chinuch course in Arla Goyla. And he used to speak about this as a teich literature Hashem. She wanted to know exactly b'nevua, what's going on over there, because she had all that. So he said he was once there and he heard somebody who was not such a teredik person teaching children this pasha. That teich literature Hashem. Why did she go derishes Hashem? In those days, they didn't really have many doctors. I mean, if there was a doctor, she would have gone to a doctor, but there wasn't. So she went to speak to the Rav. But here we see Vatelech Lidrash Hashem. She went to be Dorish HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was she going over there for? It's interesting. Zer Shimshon is asking Kasha. You have problems with your pregnancy. What are you going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yishomu Beres, which has Tzagos Tanovim Tachochem. So we say to her, you know what? I'll give you a teretz. Shnei Goyim Bevitneich. You got two nations. What Shnei Goyim Bevitneich? Zog Rashi, that is Rebbe and Antoninus. That's a Shnei Goyim. Shnei Goyim Bevitneich should be who? Yaakov and Esav. Who's Rebbe and Antoninus? That's not pshat. That doesn't make sense. It should be Yaakov and Esav. That's the two Umos. And also it says, they're both called Zel Rishu and Zel Tumay. And that's going on Yaakov and Esav. So what's that? So why is it saying Shnei Goyim Bevitneich is Rebbe and Antoninus? So what's the pshat? So Zer Shimshon says over here the following. He says that Chava with her chait made, whatever this means, that the Nitzotza Shul Kedusha came into the Klippa. That means that now you have Kedusha that's being enveloped by Tuma. Tuma things are atomic, right? So with that, that brings the Tuma in the world because the Tuma is enveloping this Kedusha. And now the Rishayim come, the Rishayim bring a tzad to a woman. Number one, the tzar to the woman is that they that notice the tzar of the pregnancy. Number two, also, milvan the tzar of the pregnancy, sometimes also that you can be moyed rishoim, and for that, these rishoim, the mother has to eat on Yom Kippur. If she smells something, it's mechal Shabbos for this Rosha. So that's a double tzar that he speaks about. But the Gemara in Soita says, and now if you'd base on the base, he quotes a Gemara over there, says, Noshim Tzidkonyos were not included in this Gzera of Chava. Even though Chava had Gzera Haba, Arbe, Itzvoynech, Veheroynech, Be'etzav Tei Dibonim, you're going to have pain in labor, and you're going to have pain in pregnancy, etc., etc. Tzidkonyos are not included in this. And therefore, Tzidkonyos, you would assume that they're going to have Tzadikim. And therefore, they should not have this tzar that they're having. And it continues, the Gemara, he also says, the Gemara in Brochus and Daf Samach Aleph on the base, said a person knows whether he's a tzaddik or a rosha. Sometimes people get the wrong idea. You know, they speak to certain people, and they tell you, yeah, ich bin a tzaddik. You know, the people you have to be the most wary of are the people that are very open about the fact that they're a tzaddik. That's when you know that you're dealing with a person that might not be such a tzaddik. Even worse, anybody who tells you they're a big onov, there's one thing you know. That's not what they are. Many things, but you know, if a guy tells you, you're looking for an onov, this don't look any further, here I am. Yeah, so I know that guy's not an onov. Because an onov doesn't advertise himself like that. But the mice is a person seems to be is a psycho rosha, as I said in the Gemara. So therefore Rivka knows two things. Number one, she's a tzaddikus. She knows she's a tzaddikus, right? Even though you say, oh, how could she know? First of all, she's Mighty Yitzchak. But second of all, the Maisa people know that, you know, the famous story with Rabbi Chaska Abramsky that comes to mind. Rabbi Chaska Abramsky was once called in to court to testify about something. And they said to him, Rabbi, you know, please, you take the oath. So he takes the oath. He said, please state your name. He says, my name is Rabbi Chaska Abramsky. He says, it's been said that you are the top authority on ritual slaughter in the UK. Is that correct? He says, yes, Your Honor, that is correct. So the judge says, Rabbi, a little bit of humility, what's going on over here? To which Rabbi Chaska Abramsky says, I'm really sorry, but I'm under oath. So that means if he hadn't made a shvur to tell the truth, he would say, yeah, efshenet. But now he's standing under oath when he's being told to give edus. Under oath, he has to swear, he says he's going to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So they're ready, even for Anova's purposes, he couldn't lie, so he had to say yes. So deep down, it doesn't mean tzaddikim don't know who they are. Tzaddikim do know who they are. So Rivka knows, she's a tzaddikus. She's not going and advertising to everybody, but deep down she knows, she's yet tzaddikus. So therefore she damns for a pregnancy, because she knows as a tzaddikus, I'm not going to have a rosha. Because otherwise, he says, she wouldn't daven. Because he brings over here, two people said the same thing. He brings a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Memdala Tes, that says both Avraham Avinu and David HaMelech. Avraham Avinu says, Matitin Niva Noicha Oilech Hariri, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him all these presents, and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, but what's it worth? Vanoicha Oilech Hariri, I'm still childless. But he says, Im Osanani Lahoilet Bonim Ulachisra Mutav Niva Noicha Oilech Hariri. If I'm going to have children, they're going to be Rishoim, do me a favor. No children. That's what Avraham Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't need kids who are Rishoyim. The point isn't to say, ha, I had a child. To have a child is a Rosh and Nishkin Goetz Yichus. That's number one. Number two, he says, David says, if I'm going to have children, I prefer that I should go in the way of the world, I shouldn't have any children. Both Avraham Avinu and David HaMelech say that. So Rivka Avinu knows the same thing. She says, I'm not asking for Rishoyim. I don't need Rishoyim. I don't know whether we're going to have a child just to have a rosha. That's the greatest chus to have a rosha. It's interesting because we see that Chizkiyahu HaMelech didn't want to have a child either, and he was punished for that. But he says, but I know it's going to be Rishoyim. And in the end, you have Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Pardon? Yeah. Could be that, but he didn't get married at all. Didn't get married. Okay, I hear. There he didn't get married. Mashiach, here she got married. Obviously, she's saying, but we're not giving children. Okay, Ken Zayn. And therefore, she says to herself, I'm a tzaddik. It's a tzaddik who's going to have, hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, children that can meet tzaddikim. So for that, I'm willing to pray. So I'm davening now that she have children. And now, suddenly, what happens is the children start kicking around in her stomach, especially when they're coming near the tumah and it's kicking and it's eight, and she realizes something is wrong over here. The fact that she has pain shows two things. Number one, we said before, Noshim Tzidkonias are not in the Gzera of Chava. So if Noshim Tzidkonias are not in the Gzera of Chava, they don't deserve to have any pain. So why am I getting kicked around like that? What's going on? Okay, she had such a tzai ibuk, so she has a question over here. Number two things. Either this klal that Noshim Tzidkonias were not begetter of Chava's punishment, either Chas Rishon, that klal that the Gemara tells us is not correct, and Noshim Tzidkonias also get tzar, or maybe she's bichlal, she thinks she's a tzadekis, she's not tzadekis. That's also very, very disturbing. So she davened mitchilosoi to become pregnant. But afterwards, and once she's pregnant, the next thing you daven is a Vlad Shia ben Kayoma. Right? You have different tefillas. A woman davens she should become pregnant. Baruch Hashem, she becomes pregnant. Now she's got tefillas for 9 months to say, you know, Kosh Baruch Hu, let it develop properly inside my stomach. Let the birth be well. Let me be okay with the birth. Let the child come out okay. Let the child be healthy. Let all the no issues. There's two sets of tefillas. Before you become pregnant and after she becomes pregnant. Different set of tefillas. So now that she's pregnant already, there's a different, she's coming to the Beis Medrash Shel Shem and she says, wait a minute. Now I need to know, should I be davening, should I not be davening? Why not? Because ken zayin, that I now have a rush inside my stomach. And if I have a rush inside my stomach, so I go back to what Avraham Avinu said, and to what David HaMelech said, to give birth to Rishoyim, it's not worth it. I don't want to have a child if he's a Rosha. I don't need children if they're Rishoyim. Forget it. So she says, should I daven now for this child to be born? And for everything to be okay? Or should I daven that Kodesh Baruch Hu should make it, should I have a miscarriage? Now that I'm asking the question, maybe I shouldn't have davened. I davened, I had it, fine, I'm pregnant now. But what's going to be the outcome of this pregnancy? Especially in the olden days, it wasn't so posh. Today, well over 90% of pregnancies make it to term, and the child's okay, and et cetera, et cetera. Then you have, of course, obviously there's the other things over there, but Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation, we live in a dar where children make it to term very, very easily because we have all this medication. In the olden days, you didn't have that. So what do? So you need to daven for it. So she says, but should I be davening? Maybe I shouldn't be davening. Who says that the child I'm going to have is a tzai, and the child I'm going to have is a rosha, and then I don't need this child, so maybe I should daven that it shouldn't work. I should daven that this child should not come out well. And that's what it says, Ken Godel Tzahar Ibur. If I get such tzar, which means that I'm not Bechal Noshim Tzidkonias, if I'm not Bechal Noshim Tzidkonias, I could have a Rosha. So then, why did I daven for Heroyan? Why did I daven to become pregnant? Avraham Avinu said he didn't want to have a child of his Rosha. David said I didn't want to have a child of Rosha. I don't have a child who's Rosha either. So I have Charota. I thought I was a Tzadeh because I have Charota. I shouldn't have daven like that. Because now I'm going to have a child of Rosha. Comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Shem Ve'Eva and sends her the following message. Shnei goyim evitneich. There are two goyim inside your stomach. Zok chachomeinu zechoyen levrocha. Not Esau v'Yaakov. That's not what we're talking about. Antoninus Rebbe. Why are you having such tzar in your heroyon? Fakert, you're a tzidkonis. And as a tzadekis, you don't deserve really to have reshoyim. And you don't really deserve to have all this pain in your pregnancy either. But you're going to have a child faket. You're going to have, your schus is that inside you, the klippa and the kedusha are fighting with each other, and the kedusha is trying to rid itself of the klippa. The kedusha is trying to say, the klippa, get away from me. I don't want to be with you. I'm inside somebody who's so kodesh, I can throw off the shackles of the tumah and now become tar and ganzen. And that's what we want. And from that comes Antoninus. Who's Antoninus? Antoninus was a melech. He was a roish. But he was also somebody that was beholden to Rebbe. We see Antoninus had this tunnel and he went to Rebbe and he used to learn by Rebbe and he used to call Rebbe, Rebbe Einu HaKodesh was his Rebbe. So you have Antoninus is somebody that came from the Tumah and pulled himself out of that klippa. From the Tumah Vesa, pulled himself out. And that's really these two le'umim. You have two nations. We create Edoim, and you create Klal Yisrael. that shnei, right? Shnei goyim mevitnech, that's two things. Shnei goyim mevitnech. Ushnei le'omim mimaechi paredus. Two separate things. Shnei goyim mevitnech, shnei le'omim. So you need two nations to be able to pull these people out of it. So you create Yisrael and Edom, but through creating Edom, within Edom, there were famous Gerim, there were famous people that, so for example, you have somebody by the name of Ketir Bashalom. I didn't look up the Gemara, it's a Gemara, but it's Zardaf Yudam and Base. Ketir Bashalom, a famous Ger that came from Amalek. You have the fellow of Rabbi Chanim and tribe, and they surrounded him with all these things around his heart. And they put the Sefer Torah around him, and then they put around him certain parts, the wet flax or wet wool, that he shouldn't die quickly. He should cool him off, they should have more pain. So the fellow who's looking after him says, Rabbeinu, if I take it away from you and I help you die quicker, am I going to get Olam Haba? Yeah. So he took it away from him. That was somebody who came from Edom, who was a tzaddik that came out of the clippers of the Rishus. Similarly, you have Shmaya and Atalian. Shmaya and Atalian came, the Gerim, came from that Ummah, from Edom. Rabbi Meir, also. And other Gerim that came from the clippers of Esav. We don't have this with Yishmael, but this is what we have from thing. And that's what he's saying, Shnei goyim mevitnech, u'shnei le'umim mimeayich yiparedu. Mimeayich, because they were inside you. Because they came from you, Rivka Imenu. Who is such a tzadekis who has the koyach inside her children to be able to take the koyach ha-kedusha, and for that koyach kedusha to fight off the koyach ha-tumah so strong that the kedusha will be able to rid itself of the tumah and come out of the tumah? That's mimi ayachi paredu. That's because of you. And then he says, ul oimil oim yemats. And I've given you Esav, even the ummah of Esav, there has a tremendous ta'elis for Klai Yisrael. What's the oimel oim yematz? Because we say either you have Esav being strong or Yaakov being strong. You can't have it both. Imam lacha chaver Yishalayim and chaver Kisri, you don't believe. Yishalayim is built and Kisar is built, also you don't believe. One is up, the other one's down. And we say hakal kol Yaakov, then yadayim yedei Esav. When Klai Yisrael's coil is weak, then Yadayim Yedei Esav, and Esav is strong. And faket, when Klai Yisrael is strong, Esav is weak. So even that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the fact that you have this child and Esav is not going to be there because we have a Rasha. It's there to prop up Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael, we have like a warning mechanism. You're doing what you're supposed to do. Suddenly you start nosediving, you start coming down a little bit, comes Esav and starts pushing, so you start coming back up again. So even that, so he says, yes, you're right. You might think that all this child is proving to you that you're not a tzaddikus, you're really a reshaimta, and therefore you deserve a child who's a rosha, and it's not really true that you want to be itra shachav, etc., etc. He says, that's not how to look at it. And that's why, says the Zeh Shimshon, that you have this whole description over here. Shnei goyim evitnech, shnei lo mimayit b'charedu, lo oim alayim miyemot. He even says, Pshat Ravi Avitzor, but we run out of time. He says, you go on through the passage. So many descriptions. Just say, you have a child, you have a Yaakov and an Esav. He says, no, it's not so poshut. He's trying to explain to her why this cheshman makes sense for her to have such a child, and why she shouldn't feel that by having such a child, it's a bad reflection on her and the kind of person that she was. Thank you very much. Again, as we said, Le'ila Nishmas, the Torah over here that we learned, Le'ila Nishmas, Shimshon Chaim, Anachem, Yochan, Achmani, Shomash, and Aliyah, and Amit Hashem. We continue next week.